Welcome to your weekly radio broadcast, Seed of Life, a time for the preaching and teaching of the wholesome Word of God that, by the grace of Jesus Christ, will produce the desired results of righteousness in you unto the coming of the Lord. As you're listening today, may you find grace to work worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, please welcome your regular host, Pastor Ido Okedengbe. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Come on, put those hands together and give God the glory. Give Him alone. He alone deserves it. Nobody bore your infirmity. Nobody paid the price you could not pay. Nobody suffered afflictions on your behalf. Jesus was the only one. He loved you even when you were unlovable. While you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. The Bible says, and having loved his own, he loved them to the end, unconditionally. He wasn't waiting for you to be good before he loved you. He gave you his love on credit so that you can love him back in return. Say, greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. You are called his friend. I love that song that said, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me. He called you a friend even when you were an enemy. Oh, what love. What manner of love. When you were full of all manner of unrighteousness, iniquity, debauchery, evil works, loving the works of the flesh, loving the word. He loved you regardless. And after he had paid the full price for you, he gave you an assurance that you are his. You don't belong to the devil. You don't belong to the world. You don't even belong to yourself. You are God's property. You are his inheritance. You are his portion. Bible says he has bought you with the blood. You are purchased with a price. He said, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. Which are the Lord's. And if we must glorify him, we must always remember the blood that is shed on our behalf. Because there is power in that blood. Oh, there is virtue in that blood. There is life in that blood. When that blood is infused into you, you begin to live supernaturally. You begin to do things that you couldn't do by your own power. You will begin to ride in your high place. You'll be unstoppable because there's something power in you. There's something infusing life inside of you. That's what the blood does. Are we together? You can be seated for a moment. Good morning, church. I believe we're already enjoying service. Hallelujah. You see, the good thing is you don't have to wait for the word to come before you get your breakthrough, before you get your healing, before you get your deliverance. Jesus was still on the way to Jairus' house. He hadn't even gotten to where he was going to sit down and begin to teach. He was just still walking on the way. He was just still walking. And while he worked on the way to Jairus' house, what happened? There was a woman in the crowd. This woman has suffered an infirmity for upward of 12 years. She has spent all her living on physicians, giving them to physicians, and she did not get better. In fact, she was getting worse. Do you know that devil is a wicked devil? Scripture says he came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus gave us an assurance. He said, I have come that you may have life, and that you may have life abundantly. Please say to yourself, abundant life is mine.
Oh, it doesn't matter what you see. It doesn't matter what you see. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. We look at those things that be not, and we call them as though they are, because we have faith in God. So in other words, you can look at your situation that looks to be, that is dead, and say to it, you are alive. Because Jesus already made you to live, and you shall live. Jesus said to his disciple, Lazarus, our friend, is only sleeping. Say, and I go to wake him up. He spoke life ahead of him. And when he got to the grave of Lazarus, what did he do? He said, Lazarus, come forth! And he that had been dead, buried, stinking for 4 days, your Jesus, my Jesus, brought him back to life. In so much that the next time they were gathering, people came to see Lazarus. Even though Jesus too was there, they came because of Lazarus. God will make your story to become a testimony. Amen. People will come to begin to listen to you because of what they have seen you suffer and what they have seen God turn it around into. Amen. That we used to know him. He used to beg by the gate called Beautiful. He was lame. His story was shameful. It was a byword, a reproach, and a shame. But suddenly, through the power of this Jesus, he was made every whit whole. He began to leap. He began to jump. He began to rejoice. Why? Because a power came upon him. And I'm showing you this morning, a greater power than the power that has been working against you is coming upon you this morning. A greater power than the power that has been working in your household, in your family. A greater power is coming upon you. Amen. A power that will set you free. Amen. A power that will liberate you. Amen. A power that will blot out every handwriting against you. Amen. A power that will heal your sickness. Amen. Heal your infirmity. Amen. A power that will begin to prosper you like never before. Amen. Project you on the upward and on the forward side. If you believe, say, I receive that power. That woman said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment. I don't need to touch his head. I don't need to touch his body. I don't need to touch maybe his mantle. I just want to touch the hem. Just the hem. Just the hem. And she came from behind, pressed through, and touch the hem of Jesus. Please, friends. Many people will be in the crowd that were even pushing Jesus. They were so familiar with him, yet they couldn't draw any virtue out of him. But this woman, even though she was forsaken, neglected, rejected, she was stinking. Nobody gave her a space. Nobody gave her a place, because by the reason of the law, she was even not meant to be among normal people. But she said, man might have written me off that my case is beyond redemption. People who know my story might have said, there is no hope for me. Just go and die anyhow. But this God that I serve, he never gives up on me. He still loves me. He's still there to heal me. He's still there to deliver me. He's still there to make a way for me where there seems to be no way. So I'm saying this to stir up your heart for this communion service, and also to prepare you for the word that I want to share with us this morning. Praise the Lord. I really have to do this very quickly. I promise, Pastor Twain. So I want to fulfill my promise. You know when you promise your wife something, better fulfill it. Better fulfill it. I'm talking to you men. Bible says, dwell with them with what?
with knowledge. You must know your wife. Hallelujah.
My wife is a good wife. She's a very supportive wife. She's not afraid to tell me that you didn't do that wrong, right? That one, no, you took it too much. She will communicate. Hallelujah. And that is why we are getting it on. I need somebody who can tell me the plain truth. I need somebody who can be very sincere with me. And I have that in this woman. Please let me appreciate her. Let me appreciate her. She's not fake. She's not a fake woman. She's a real woman. She will tell you as it is. Sometimes I don't like to hear it. But I have no option. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are we ready for the word of the Lord? Okay. If you have your Bible with you, please open with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews, why she drinks. Hebrews chapter 12. Hallelujah. We read just four verses, from verse 1 to verse 4. Tuesday was very powerful in this house. We had a wonderful and glorious time. Oh, it was, the message was titled, Unleash the Power Within. How many of us were in that service? Only a few of us. If you were not here, you missed. You missed. Please get the tape. It was a powerful service. It was like a revival service. Hallelujah. Get the tape. You will still feel the vibration when you are listening to the message. Hallelujah. Say, unleash the power. There is power within you that is latent. And until you unleash it, you cannot see the miraculous. You cannot see the mighty demonstration of God's power. Hallelujah. Bible says that God is able to do exceeding and abundantly, far above what we ask of Him. According to what? To His power that is where? It must be at work in you. If it's not at work in you, you will not see anything. God will not be doing anything. No. If that power is not at work in you, nothing could happen outside. One will be living a very lifeless, colorless, natural life. But when you activate the power within, you unleash it, then you begin to see glorious things. Doors will begin to open to you of their own accord. The sea will see you and it will skip like ram. You begin to see men that are old enough to be your father. You say, am I Binusa? We know you are very honorable. You begin to command some level of respect and honor that you can't imagine. Why? Because there is a power that is at work within you. The lines will fall onto you in pleasant places. The storms will be calmed. The sea waves will begin to bow before you. You will walk on waters because there is a power that you have unleashed. Are we together? Praise the Lord. Okay, let's read together. Then we're going to also read from the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 6 to 8. Two portions of scriptures. Hallelujah. Are we excited to be in God's house this morning? Hebrews chapter 12, 1 to 4, and 1 Kings chapter 19, from verse number... First Kings 19 from verse number 6 to verse number 8. Alright, if you have opened to those two portions of scriptures, can you please rise to your feet? Can you please rise to your feet as we read together in fellowship? The time is really fast spent. We need to move very fast. At the count of two, let's read in fellowship. One, two, go. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed also about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endure the cross, despise and shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endures such contradiction of men, of sinners, against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Very powerful scripture there.
There is a joy that is set before you. But if you must experience that joy, then you must look unto Jesus. When you look unto Jesus, you become like Him. You receive same power that He received of the Father. You receive same grace that He also received from the Lord. Hallelujah. When you look unto Him, what you look unto, you become like. What you look unto. And that is why no matter the challenges that you are facing in life, make sure you keep looking unto Jesus. Keep looking unto Him. The Bible says concerning Him, He endured the cross. He despised the shame. And now, He is set at the right hand of God, the Father, of the throne of God. Praise the Lord. Second scriptures. I read to your hearing. 1 Kings 19, 6 to 8. And He looked, and behold, when you look unto Jesus, there is something looking at Him, seeing Him, that infuses into you. The more you look at Him, the more the strength from His presence penetrates inside of you. And as Elijah looked, behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Let me tell your neighbor, the journey is too great for you. Oh, don't go on that journey until you are first empowered, until you have eaten of that bread of life and you have drank of the blood of Christ. Don't go on that journey. Verse 8. And he arose, you will arise this morning, and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights into Horeb, the mount of God. He went, not only, it was not just, you know, when you say you go in the strength of something, maybe you are sleeping in one corner and you are just saying, oh, since I've eaten just once yesterday and I'm going to just wait for the next 40 days, so don't let me stress myself, let me just stay somewhere. No, that was not Elijah. He ate that cake and drank that water. And in the strength of the cake and the water that he took, he began to move and walk to the top of the mountain. I say you will get to the top of your mountain. There was a great might and power, strength that came upon him. He got into his high place, went to the top of Horeb. I want you to tell your neighbor, there's a place for you at the top. It may be a long journey, but through the grace of God, through the enablement of the Spirit of God, you will get to that place. I say you will get to the top. In the name of Jesus. So this morning I want to share with us, before we go to the communion table, the message I've titled, Get Enough Oil, or Get Sufficient Oil. Get enough oil. Do you know, if you want to drive from here to Lagos, for example, you don't go on the reserve tank. Otherwise, before you get to toll gates, your vehicle will just stop on the way and kata kata go bust. If you want to go to the east, you get a full tank, because the journey is very long. Journey is long. Sometimes, journey to some parts in Nigeria. I remember when I was serving in the north in Kebbi, we would take a journey from Lagos and it would look as if we are going to heaven. You've got to fill your tank, because the journey is very great. Father, we thank you for your word. As we listen to you, we ask that you speak from your excellent glory. Open our ears, open our hearts, and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Praise the Lord.
Hebrews chapter 10 verse 37 tells us that he that will come, and he will not tarry. So while you are moving, he is coming. While you are running, he's also running towards you. It's just like the story of the prodigal son. The father didn't have to wait for him to run to where he was. The father was coming towards him while the son too was coming. So they came together. Hallelujah. That is the way it works. There's a race that is set before you. You've gone to do your own bits. And the truth is, for every race that God has called you to run, there is a grace sufficiently available for you to finish that race strong. Breast the final tape. God will never call you to run a race that he has not made sufficient grace available to carry you through. Whether it's the race to see Jesus finally, when he will take us into his eternal presence. Because I see many people giving up and say, this Christian race is too tough, it's too hard. Oh, it's not tough, it's not hard. It's been tough and hard because you have been depending on your own strength. If you will just glide on the wing of the Spirit of grace, you will discover that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. You can run that race and you can breast the final tape. You can win the trophy. You can win the crown. You can win Jesus. Because it's not by power, it's not by might, but by my Spirit, the scripture says, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. So there is no race that is set before you that you cannot race, that you cannot win, that you have not been adequately prepared for, and the resources to ensure that you win that race has been made available. Please understand with me that if you must finish your race to meet the Lord, to see his power, to see his glory, to be established in his righteousness, to encounter him in a new way, in a living way. Or if you must be able to run that race, you must keep looking unto the providence of Christ. That which he has made available for you. Somebody was, one of my friends is based in the US, was chatting with me, maybe yesterday, and he was saying that, don't you think that it's going to really be very difficult, it's going to be very demanding for you to keep, for you to maintain your salvation by just keeping doing what is right, keeping doing. I said, look, it's because you are looking at it from your own human strength. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I. It is Christ that lives in me. Say, the life that I live now, I live of the faith of the Son of God who loves me. So I don't live a life by my own strength, by my own ability, by my own wisdom. I just glide. I just ride. I just leverage. I just take advantage of what has been provided. That is what makes this journey to be very sweatless. Not that it's not a tough journey, but it is tough because we are not trusting on the providence of his grace. So Hebrews 12 tells us that looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It takes faith to overcome. It takes faith to be all that God wants you to be. It takes faith to be established in that which has been written in the volume of the book concerning you. It takes faith to defeat the devil. It takes faith to lay hold of your inheritance. It takes faith for you to be able to see the invincible. It takes faith for you to please God. And that faith is not going to come from you. It's going to come from the Lord. Scripture says that faith comes by hearing, and doing what? Hearing the word of Jesus. Who is the word of God? Jesus, the Son of the living God. It comes by you, hearing. Keep hearing. Because through the hearing of the word of faith, you are energized, you are empowered, you are equipped. Am I communicating? Praise the Lord. The disciples, when Jesus was coming, they couldn't see him. I preached that last Sunday. In fact, they saw him like a ghost. Their faith had been completely reduced. You are seeing Jesus and yet you are calling him a ghost. They couldn't see clearly. You know when the Bible says we walk not by sight but we walk by faith. That means faith, you see through the eyes of faith. You do what? You see through the eyes of faith. And if you are not seeing through the eyes of faith, you will be seeing what is meant to be a blessing as a curse. Because you are not seeing through the eyes of faith. If you are not seeing through the eyes of faith, you will be seeing what is meant to deliver you as what is meant to drown you. They saw Jesus. He was coming. It was the King of Glory. Coming in the fullness of his power and majesty and dominion. Coming for them. Bible says, he that will come, will come. He will not tarry. Say, no. I hear your cry for deliverance. I saw that the devil has been messing with your finances. I saw that the devil has been messing with your family. And I'm coming to deliver you. And as he was coming, because their faith was so low, they were of little faith, possibly even of no faith. What they were meant to see as the King of Glory, the one who rides the storms. They were seeing ghosts. They were seeing a fantasia. They were seeing spirits. Am I communicating? And the reason why they could not see, Matthew 14 verse 26 says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Ah, what is meant to bring victory to you? Because you can't see it properly, you are troubled by it. Do you know behind some things that appear as a trouble, there is actually a blessing. But because you can't see, you allow it to begin to depress you. God is walking towards you. And yet you are afraid because you can't see him clearly. Your tank of faith has been so depleted. Your ability to see has been so completely eroded. It's a very terrible place to be. Whereby God is doing a great work, yet you cannot see it. It's a terrible place to be. The Lord is coming, and yet you are seeing something else. Are you here with me? Well, I believe as we come to this communion table, we'll begin to see aright. We'll begin to see God in our situations. Through that problem, that thing that seemed to be a problem, you will see the working of his glorious power. You will see him coming, and you will embrace him. You will see your victory, even in the midst of the crisis, because God, Jesus, is coming towards you. Are you here with me? Praise the Lord. And you know, there was, as I begin to bring my message to a close, so that we can come to the communion table, Jesus spoke of a particular parable in the book of Matthew 25, the parable of the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins, the parable of the 10 virgins. Note with me that by reason of the fact that they've been on a very long journey, they waited for so long, the Bible says that they all fell asleep. All of them. That is why a time comes when there is a revival. Bible says there is a time for everything. It will be a complete suicidal attempt for you to be sleeping when the Lord is causing a revival. When the Lord is stirring up a revival among his people, God forbid that you are still sleeping. Scripture says, awake thou that sleeps, and the Lord will give you light. So a time came that they have to forget sleeping. We've been sleeping for long in the church. I believe this is the time to awake from our slumber. This is the time to awake. More too. My very self, I'm included though. Not besides I didn't say now they sleep. All of us But now we must wake up. Because now is the accepted time.
We've been sleeping. And while we were sleeping, the enemy have been what? Having a few days. He has been sowing tares, raising up Boko Haram, raising up Fulani herdsmen, giving them ammunition and all manner of things to destroy and to kill and to waste lives while we were sleeping. But we are waking up and we are saying that thus far and no further, Nigeria belongs to Jesus. He says, occupy till I come. You can't occupy when you are sleeping. Have you seen somebody sleeping occupying? You see a security man that is meant to keep a vault. Security man. What is sun law? He don't sleep. And he wakes up and says, I'm occupying. I'm occupying. What are you occupying? Awake! And the scripture says, suddenly all of them awoke. They came back to their senses. They came back to the Father. This is time to be hope and alert. And five of them were wise. They took oil in their vessel. Because they were meant to go and meet the bridegroom as he was coming. Scripture says, he that will come, will come. He's coming with your victory. He's coming with your increase. He's coming with your blessing. And scripture says, as he was coming, the voice came in the midnight and said, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Tell your neighbor, he's coming for you. He's coming for your breakthrough. He's coming for your healing. He's coming for your deliverance. He's coming for your uplifting. He's coming for your promotion. He's coming. But you know, for you to see him as he's coming, your light must be shining. If your light is not shining, you will be like the disciples. They will see him as a ghost. You know, it was in the fourth watch of the night when the sun had not yet risen up. So, in the midst of that darkness, you may not see a person clearly. You can only see that person clearly if you what? You beam a light. You beam the light, then you see him. So, as the Lord is coming, the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins, they knew they needed to take their lamp so that they can see him clearly. You can't see him coming if your light is not shining. Did you hear what I say? You can't see him when he's coming if your light is not shining. And your light will get to a point that it will fail shining, or it will stop, it will cease shining, if you don't have sufficient oil in your lamp, in your vessel. You know, in those days, now we let me just put it in the context of this current time. You know, rechargeable lamps. You charge it for hours. I remember the last time I removed one rechargeable lamp. The moment I first removed it from the light, from the source, the mains, it was so bright. It was so bright. But by and by, as I kept it and I was using it, it was, you know, illuminating my environment. It was dispelling the darkness. By and by, I just saw the thing. It was just diminishing. At some point, the light will go out. May your light never go out. I say, may your light never go out. But the light of a believer can go out if he does not have enough oil in his vessel. Your vessel is your soul. Your lamp is your body. Bible says that if your body be full of light, hallelujah. In other words, God wants you to be so full of light so that you will see him. No matter the situation of life that you are going through, you can see God. You can see Christ. Because your light is shining. And your light will keep shining as long as you have sufficient oil. Oh, I can play my music. I can do all manner of things in my car. I can put on my AC. As long as there is sufficient fuel in my tank. Oh, Christianity can be so enjoyable. It can be so nice. It can be so wonderful. I tell people, I can't live another life. I just love, this is life. What people call life out there is just empty. It's completely empty. This is life. Jesus Christ said, this is life. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus whom you have sent. This is the fullness of life. There's no life. Tell your neighbor, there's no life any other way else.
The fullness of life is in Christ Jesus. And that is the Jesus that you and I have come unto. But why are we not enjoying that life? Why are we not enjoying it? Why are we enduring? And it seems the devil is beating us blue black. And it seems as if God is not there on the throne again. As if he just left us here to be suffering. Why? Why does it seem as if there is no balm in Gilead? And sickness is just taking over our lives. Why? Why does it seem as if the young lion can now lack? And the righteous can be forsaken. Why? Why? Why does it seem as if God has abandoned us? As if the journey that he called us to run, the race he called us to run, he wants us to run it by ourselves. I tell people, Jesus will be a wicked Jesus if he left me to run the race by myself. But he's not wicked. He's full of love. He said, yes, Sido, you can run that race. You can. Because all that you need are provided. But there is a price you have to pay. Tell your neighbor there is a price you have to pay. Oh, the wise paid that price. They paid that price. They went before they slept. Because there was no time again after they woke up. They went before they slept off. To go and buy. They went to go and buy. Many of us, we are not buying. I hear some people teaching today and say, Jesus Christ has done everything for you. In fact, you don't need to fast again. Why are you even praying? God knows what he will do. God praying what? Why are you praying? When you can think through, you can just plan. Everything will be okay. What are you praying for? People are rubbishing prayers now. People are rubbishing the place of fasting. People are rubbishing the place of devotions. Now people are even questioning the hymns. Hymns that when we sing many years ago begin to make us to cry and to long for God and say, Lord, I seek you in the land of the living. I want to see your power. I want to see your glory. You see your vulnerability. You see that this is who I am meant to be and this is who I am. Oh, there is something that is lacking. I need to go and buy oil. I need to buy oil. I need to get sufficient fuel. I need to get sufficient oil. For many of us, we just want to live a life that is just barely surviving. We are just okay as long as we come to church on Sunday and we hear a nice message. And the pastor prays over us and blesses us. We are just fine. We just like to maintain the status quo. There's not something within us that is kicking that, oh, I can be greater than this. There's some power in me that can be unleashed that I am not yet unleashing. There is a greater height. There is a top of a mountain that I ought to get to. That I am still living under the valley. There's a place in God that is reserved for me as a son that he loves. But if you must get there, friends, you must be ready to pay the price of diligence. Bible says that those that diligently seek him. Some of us, the moment you just wake up and you are just able to, okay, we have our races. Let me just read 3 verses there. And you are just able to say, Father, I thank you, I give you praise. And that is okay. And you have been continuing like that from January till now. But the journey before you is great. A great journey demands great strength. I was sharing with us on Thursday at the prayer meeting. There's something we call a mismatch. In the financial time, in the banking sector, we call it a mismatch. When your credit is more than your deposit, when your liability is more than your deposit, there is a mismatch. You are giving more than you are taking in. It's just a matter of time. You will hemorrhage. If it's a financial institution, you just hear that it's collapsed. We heard of what happened to Skybank. They've given out too much than their capacity could support. BlackRock and all these, Morgan Stanley, all these big banks. That's what happened to them. They were giving out mortgages, as it were, that their balance sheet could not support for just a matter of time. Their light is going to go out. Their liquidity is going to be completely exhausted because they won't have what it takes to still survive. And that is the way Some of us want to be living our Christian life. We want to engage a great journey, yet we don't want to take in sufficient strength. Do you see why many people are backsliding? Do you see why many people are falling off from the faith? Not that God designed it to be so, but because they are not appropriating the providence of grace. They are not appropriating it. So we as a church, from the 10th to the 30th of November, we want to cry for revival. We want to bring our vessels to the Lord. We want to say to Him, Lord, pour in us. Give us more oil. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Keep me burning. It got to a point in the ministry of Peter. That is why I challenge myself. Peter was a preacher. I'm a preacher. So why would Peter, with such great work, be manifesting through his ministry? And it will not be manifesting through my why? Why? Walking and his shadow was healing the sick. Eutychus was sitting on the top of a building. He fell down and they took him up dead. And Paul went to him and just put his body around him. And Eutychus came back to life. The same God that was at work in them is at work in you. But why are we not seeing it? Has God changed? Is he no longer the same God? It should get us to a point whereby we begin to recognize that there's much more in Christianity than just coming to church. So we want to look up to heaven and say, Lord, infuse us with sufficient oil. Infuse us with sufficient virtues. Put within us great power. Some of you are still earning 50,000 naira per month. Please don't sleep. Let the Lord stir up something in your heart. Tell your neighbor by your side, please don't sleep. Oh. Don't sleep. Because I know when the AC is blowing on you, you may be tempted to sleep. Eh? When the AC know they blow that time, all of us they are awake, oh, because heat they hammer us. Now that AC can't they blow, now we can't they sleep. Tell your neighbor, don't sleep on pastor. I said, some of you are meant to be an employer, paying people salary. But today you are still counting 30 days. You'll be calling your colleague. Ah, bros, how far? They don't pay. I never say Allah to. Which time they go put the thing for account now? Whereas you are the one to be telling your staff and say, CFO, please move 50 million from that our deposit and pay the staff salaries, pay all of them. Just settle all of them. I want everybody to go home this weekend and relax and enjoy. You know? That's a height God wants to take some of us, but we are still calling and we are okay. Because they are giving us 350,000, 250,000, 150,000. And we are just saying that, at least I'm better than people that are still roaming the street. You are always comparing yourself to people that are lower. You can't see yourself riding and being in the class of people that have received help from the Lord. And I've also been favored by God. And God also wants to favor you like them. I'm not saying you'll be comparing yourself to others. But when you read it in the scriptures and you can see God do it in the life of someone else, He tells you that He can do it in your life also. Am I communicating? That's the essence of faith. If God can do it in his life. That was why Peter, when he saw Jesus, he saw him and said, not be the same Jesus with the shop bread and butter with this. The one where I go buy my land bakery for. Where with the shop for the same plate. Don't be how they see the work for water so. Ah, sure. Jesus, you they work for water. Or God bid me make I come too. That's faith now. Because I can see you, I know I can also do it. If you can do it, I can do it. And Jesus said to him, come. Peter jumped up quickly. Ah! As they walk on top of water. Hey, me no re. Oh, eh, me. Me like me. Eh? As they walk on top of water. Eh? Before you know it, he was now concentrating on himself. He was looking at himself. He wasn't looking at the Jesus that said to him, come. Because he lost focus, what happened? He began to sink. These 21 days, some of us are sinking. But the hand that is all over, we pull us out. He will pull us out from that destruction. He will pull us out from that valley. Oh, he will take up to the top of Mount Horeb. I say we are going to the top. And you know, for Elijah to go to Mount Horeb, what happened? When he opened his eyes, what did he see? He saw a cake and he saw water. In other words, that Jesus that had been strengthening. The Bible says that wherefore being compassed with such a cloud of witnesses, Elijah experienced the same supply of grace, so supply of strength, supply of power. When Jesus, who has been eternally the same, Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the life and the power of God. He was the same person that strengthened Elijah. When he saw him, what did he see? He saw bread. He saw cake. He saw water. For us in the New Testament, when we look unto Jesus, he will give us bread. He will give us wine. That's why we keep coming to the communion table. So that the great journey that is ahead of us, we will receive great strength to be able to run and to fulfill that journey. There's a journey for you to bet something. There's a journey for you. These 21 days is a journey too. Those 21 days of fasting and praying is a journey. Elijah fasted and prayed for 40 days and he did not feel it. Some of you will say, same pastor, you know, I have this daughter. I've said I shouldn't stay away from food for more than 3 hours. Every 3 hours, I have to take something. And it has conditioned your life. You will break out from that doctor's report. I say you will break out from that doctor's report. Some will say, pastor, you see, I have this ulcer. Anytime I don't eat some time like this, the ulcer will just come. It will, they affect my life. That ulcer is destroyed. Whatever it is that is a limitation for you to receive the strength of God and to go on this journey, I destroy it by the word of the living God. I declare it is completely taken away in the name of Jesus. So release your faith as you come to this altar. Elijah released his faith and he didn't just see the cake as ordinary cake. He knew that this is the cake that was from the throne of grace. This is water that has been prepared, the water of the Lord. And he took the bread, took the cake, took the water, took the wine. And what happened? Strength was infused. And he was able to go in the strength of what he took in. He was able to run the race. The Lord was able to show his power and might through him. And I believe that will happen to every one of us. Are you ready to come to the communion table? Praise the Lord. Okay, let's come to the communion table, ministers, pastors.
Thank you for your audience. We believe you have been blessed by today's message. If the Lord will be leading you, we invite you to join us for any of our services holding every Sunday between 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. and Tuesdays between 6 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. You can send us an email, info@hotrharvesthouse.org. Remember, we truly care and love you with the love of Jesus Christ. This has been an outreach service broadcast sponsored by the House on the Rock, Harvest House, Ibadan.